Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. And today I want to talk about how to talk to homeless people. First of all, homeless people is a term that people often know what you're talking about, but I don't think it is exactly what I mean. I mean people who are downtrodden, people who are panhandlers, people who are on the side of the streets and disheveled. I've been working for the last 10 years with First Saturdays, a group that I helped create that goes downtown and gives things away to, we call them neighbors in need. But we use the word homeless because people know what we're talking about. Our organization, we catered anybody who could use a hand. So we don't have any sort of requirements that you have to be without a home. Lots of the people that we help are in shelters or even have assisted housing, or even if you're, you know, broke and trying to survive and don't have money for new clothes, heck, come on down to First Saturdays and shop and get some free stuff. If it can make your life better, then that is why we do it. Come on down to First Saturdays. I should make a commercial. Okay, so first off, homeless people is kind of like saying Americans or Christians. It is way too broad a term to have a category of people that you can then make assumptions about. How do you talk to Americans? What a silly idea. How do you talk to Christians? I'm sure the minute I say that, you realize, oh yeah, I know a lot of different types of people who qualify themselves as Christians or as Americans. You would talk to a child differently than you'd talk to an adult. You would talk to someone from the West, from the East, from the... Perhaps you talk to them all the same. And perhaps that there were the differences between regions was a poor example because that's not what makes us different. But my point is that just because somebody is struggling financially, is without a home, that does not mean that they are instantly within a category of person that is like every other person that is without a home. All sorts of reasons that people can be without a home, and that number of reasons is getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day. More and more people are finding themselves in a situation where they cannot pay rent. So you have a category of person that is just recently becoming homeless because a number of circumstances happened, and suddenly, oh my gosh, I just, you know, got robbed. Someone stole my tools. I moved to a new city and my connection there, you know, betrayed me. And I just got laid off from my work and had to pay a medical bill. Then I couldn't pay my rent, and I was sleeping in my car, and then my car got impounded. There's all sorts of things where someone who's just like you had a situation where all sorts of things went wrong for them. And now they are homeless and trying to figure out a way to get out of that situation. Then you've got people who are homeless and settled into that identity. If you watched the video a couple weeks ago where I gave some funds to our friend Birdman, Birdman said he's been on the streets for 20 years. He is not trying to get off the streets. He is this is his way that he lives, and he's okay with it. He gets frustrated when he gets harassed by law enforcement, but for the most part, he is living the way within his the situations and the choices that he has to make. This is the choice he has made. Then you have people who are in dealing with subtle or significant forms of mental illness, and you could even categorize in that category is those with addiction problems. And so the people that are the way that you would talk to each of these people would be different. So let me just make it super simple, and then you can work backwards from there. And I'm bringing this all up in the first place because I know when people come and volunteer at First Saturdays, often there are people who don't have a lot of interactions with homeless. I used to be a person who did not have a lot of experience interacting with homeless. In fact, I got an email this week from someone who said, what year was that? That was 2007. that this is in 2007. I said something during Hug Nation. Speaking of 10-year challenge, that was 12 years ago. I said something where I made a joke where apparently the butt of the joke was homeless people. And the person listening at the time was on, had been homeless and was offended. And so they kind of stopped paying attention to me for over 10 years. But then they tuned back in and saw that, oh, maybe I had learned a little bit and grown a little bit. So I used to be one of the people that did not have a solid sense of integrating the people outside of our, you know, commercial world, our consumerism culture. I didn't have a way to integrate them, and so I did not show the respect that deserved by any human being. And I would guess that my joke or was not out of lack of respect, but is of ignorance and unease. So that's why I was bringing this up, because I know a lot of people don't have the experience and would like to be more of service, would like to reach out, especially as we go into the holidays. There are people that want to give, they want to feed, they want to relieve the burden and the suffering of others, but there can be a barrier when you don't feel comfortable interacting. So first I want to say, here's the, I'm making this way too long, because the way that you talk to a homeless person is the way you talk to a person. If you have a sandwich that you want to give to someone who's homeless and curious if they're hungry, you talk to them the same way that you would give someone a coffee that is in Starbucks and you want to see if they're thirsty. You say, hey, I have this extra cup of coffee. Would you like it? And they might say, well, is it decaf? And you go, no, it's a latte. And they'll say, sure, or no thanks. And guess what? That's what happens when you want to give something away to a homeless person. You say, hey, I've got a sandwich. Are you hungry? Or would you like it for later? And they say, well, what kind of sandwich is it? And you go, it's peanut butter and jelly. And they go, sure, here you go. Now, it could go all different ways. If you're in Starbucks and you say, hey, would you like a coffee? Somebody might say, motherfucker, you think I can't afford my own coffee? And I've had that experience where I try to do something nice to someone who's got money. I've tried to do nice to someone who's got no money. And in both situations, there are people who feel like that is an attack on their ability to take care of themselves. And they think that you're acting out of pity. That is a risk, which is why I, instead of saying, here, take this, or I would say, would you like this? I've got this thing. And that's one of the ways that I try to avoid that possibility of making someone think that I'm feeling sorry for them, is just to say, hey, I've got an extra sandwich. Are you hungry? Because that's exactly how I would say it to anybody. It's not because you have not enough, it's because I have too much. I think about it like gifting at Burning Man. I don't feel like, oh, you poor person who doesn't have a cocktail. Would you like a mojito? It's like, hey, we've got pitchers of mojitos. Who wants a drink? We've got sandwiches. We've got clean socks. Hey, did you get something good? Is what I always ask people when they come shopping at First Saturdays and they go through the clothes. So now the kind of one thing that I want to caution or just be, or a couple things actually. One would be, you might interact with somebody who is in that category of mental illness. And they might not react in a way that is super receptive. And it's okay to just keep moving. You could even, if you have an extra sandwich, you could set it on the ground. They could grab it later if they want. You could set it next to someone's tent. You can just keep walking and not take that as the reason why you don't like dealing with people who are, you know, outside of your comfort levels. Yeah, it's something that someone's going through. But it's also something that you can't necessarily use your charm and communication skills to fix. many times I have tried to, like, my ego got in and like, oh, here's someone who is having a little bit of a freak out because whatever reason, and I try to be, oh, well, how can I help you? And try to use the things that I would use in a normal situation, and someone who is having an issue and think I can help, and, you know, if they think that I am a representative of the Pope and I have tainted the sandwich and therefore they refuse to eat it, I don't have the tools to convince them otherwise. So, move on. Okay, the other thing is, in general, be careful about if you are giving a gift or if you are having an expectation. I think people can sense what you want to do in the big, I mean, giving someone a sandwich, yes, nice, you want to give them some food if they're hungry, but the more importantly, you want to give somebody something, you want to give them dignity and respect. And this is just a prop. It's just a way to do that. Yes, it will feed their belly. But if you give someone a sandwich and you're like, make them feel bad, that's not, you don't want to do that. So you also don't want to expect someone to shower you with appreciation. You don't give the gift because you want to feel like some savior. You do the gift because you are a kind person and that's what you do. And making someone's life a little bit better makes everything better. And it makes your world better. And if someone responds with gratitude and it makes you feel good, great. But if you are using someone else's misfortune as a way to get kind of a jolt of their appreciation to make you feel better, that's not the same thing as a gift. That's a subtle type of manipulation, and it's oppressive. You may get incredible gratitude, and that's great, but let it be gravy and not what you're after. I had no intention of talking this long about this, but, and I hope I didn't make it sound scarier than it is, but the point that I wanted to make is that more and more people are falling into the category of homeless. And we, as people, need to maintain our humanity. And we need to remember that there's many types of people in this category. And if you see an example of one that is frustrating to you or you want to pass judgment on, and there's plenty of reasons why you might want to pass judgment. Maybe you see someone shooting up drugs near a school. Maybe you see someone littering or taking a shit under a bridge and you're like, God damn it, this is, you know, health reasons. First of all, and second of all, and third of all, and fourth of all, while your judgment and your anger and your frustration about the blight on your community is absolutely real and justified, none of these human beings wants this to be happening. None of these human beings wants to have to poop outside or be addicted to opiates or be dealing with their mental illness or be so beaten down that they have to steal bicycles to try to survive. Doesn't mean you have to be happy about those behaviors, but if you can kind of wrap it with a little bit of compassion, I think that's the only way to survive the coming years. Because the haves and have-nots is the wrong division between human being and non-human, and dignity and lack of respect. We can't draw the line by what people's resources that they've acquired is. So as we get into the holiday season, know that one of the gifts that you can give to everyone is dignity and respect. So as you walk through the world and there are people that are asking for some money, you can decide that you do not want to give money. I personally never give money to people who ask for it. that's a little bit of a longer explanation, but briefly, the reason is because I like to give money to people who need it, but I'm not a fan of the panhandling profession because it takes the gifting experience and turns it transactional. So if someone's job is asking for money, the transaction is, I want to make you feel guilty. You should feel guilty. I'm living on the street and you have so much. So if you give me some money, I will alleviate some of that guilt. That is a transaction, plus one, minus one. Whereas if I see someone who is pushing their shopping cart and I say, hey, have you had lunch? And they say, no, hey, here's a couple bucks. That is a gift. So I try to continue to be compassionate and giving, but not within the system of panhandling. However, what I do is rather than ignore and say, I don't like that this exists in the world and I don't like to deal with the fact and think about the fact that there's so much suffering and these people are sleeping in cold and all, I just, what can I give that costs me nothing and it takes no more time than walking by is simply to reply with a, sorry, not today, nope, sorry, and look someone in the eye. Sorry, nope. It's a rejection, but it is a rejection to a human being and not an ignoring of someone and making them non-human and lacking of respect. Simple, easy, no thank you. I'm of the mind, some people say like if I just give someone money, they're just gonna go out and buy booze with it or go buy drugs with it. To which I say, so fucking what? You don't spend money in ways that are not perfect all the time. You sometimes, you know, spend money to make yourself feel better. Are you spending all your money in righteous ways? No, you're not. And if you are struggling in the street and you've got nothing and you've got dealing with some addiction and you want to take a moment of your day and drown it out, who am I to say what decision you should or shouldn't make? So if you think you're a savior and you know what's best for someone and you want to give them money, but only if it's for food, that is a different, that's this parental, I'm better than you mentality, as opposed to I have more than you mentality. And having more is not the same thing as being better. I'm going to say that one more time. Having more is not the same thing as being better. Going to spending 50 hours in an office chasing something that you think is going to make you happy does not make you more free, or it's a different type of freedom to have financial security than someone in the street. There's pros and cons, and the decisions that people make, or some are the results of life decisions that put us where we are, and none of us are better or worse. And if we can have compassion and show respect and share and gift out of a place, out of a sense of alleviating burden and lifting everybody up, we all can win. Or at least, yes, we can all win. It's not that the glass is empty or full. It's what? It's a beautiful glass. So as we go into the holiday season, I encourage you to know that you have a gift with you constantly, and that is your attention, your respect, the kindness of your eyes, thank you, no thank you. And if you keep something extra in your car that you want to give away, an old hoodie that you want to hand to somebody if they look cold, and you can say, hey, are you cold? I have this old hoodie that I was about to give away. And they say, sure. Boom. Oh, I've got this baggie that's got some a water bottle and some socks in it. Do you want it? And they'd be like, yeah, awesome. Or, and you go, okay. But play the long game. Be kind consistently in little ways, and you'll be a better person. The world will be a better place, and we can all lift each other up. So hope that's helpful to someone. And if you have experience working with populations that are outside our comfort zone of consumer culture and you want to share your tips or advice, I would love to hear, because how do you talk with homeless people? The way you talk to people. Same is true with how do you talk to anybody. Dun, 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 dun. Hope you're having a beautiful day. Happy Thanksgiving week. This is the kind of the Super Bowl week of gratitude. You got to put on your turkey jersey. I lead this group, this Love Warriors group, and we meet on Sundays and have a group call. And then we have activities and exercises during the week. And I started the week talking about, hey, you know, I was trying to explain to someone in the group who's not from the U.S. about Thanksgiving. And I found myself kind of in this like, gosh, if I explain the holiday of Thanksgiving, it doesn't sound anything like the mentality or the mindset that I have around Thanksgiving, which is about gratitude and about focusing on your blessings and really using that as an opportunity to amplify your sense of abundance and gratitude. But if you explain the holiday of Thanksgiving and its roots in with our oppression of indigenous people, I decided, you know what, let's just make this a gratitude week that happens to coincide with the American holiday of Thanksgiving. Just like Columbus Day, it feels difficult to have the same kind of naive purity about this holiday. But I do think a gratitude day that is without the obligations of consumer culture, there's no cards you need to buy, there's no gifts that you need to do, there's no extra, you know, decorations you have to have. Sure, we cook a big meal and we have potlucks and we share with one another, but I think that that's about as consumerism free as we have as far as our holidays go. My family tradition is we say grace, which is a brief grace about what we're grateful for, and then each person around the table shares what they're grateful for. And I love that tradition. Often people associate grace with a religious thank you God, thank you Jesus, in Jesus' name. And if that is your tradition, fantastic. My grandpa, with every meal, would teach me and demonstrate just an expression of gratitude, noticing the things he was grateful for in that day, which I love that tradition and I continue it. If you've ever had lunch with me, we've probably had a little grace. Somebody in the Love Warriors group asked, so they said, my familiarity with grace is that we do it as a religious thing. And so how do you start, or how do you do one that isn't thank you God? I'd say thank you universe. But you can also say, on this day, we are thankful for, do-do-do-do-do-do. Doesn't have to be connected to a deity, but it may be. Or you can invent a deity. Or you can say universe and then let anybody attach to that whatever they want. On this day, I am grateful for the ability to connect through these digital means, the ability to feel a teeny tiny piece of human connection, even though I'm physically alone in this moment. I'm grateful for the courage of so many people that I get to encounter in my life that are facing their struggles, that are facing their patterns in their lives and are opening up to who they are and learning to share their gifts with the world. I'm so grateful for running water. Do you realize in my house, I've got this thing that you turn a knob and water shoots out and you can change the temperature, whatever you want. And then there's this other thing. Dude, get this. You're going to get one. As soon as I tell you about it, you're going to want one. You're going to want one. It's this bowl that you poop in it, and then you push a button, and the poop just goes, whoop, and disappears. You'll never have a poop bucket that you throw out the window again once you get one of these magic things. I'm not sure what they're called, but they're, I don't know, they're incredible. You know how many thousands of years people have had poop buckets and shoved, thrown them out the windows or holes in the ground. I've got a magic bowl that whisks my poop away. It's incredible. I've got a temperature controlled home that's the water doesn't get in. No wild animals can bug me while I'm sleeping. We live in a place in time where you can go to a grocery store and find food from all over the world. Generations ago, you would eat the same thing your entire life. You would eat what was around you. People would send ships out from their country off into the unknown saying, please bring back some spices. All I really want is some spices. Like, I've been eating this bland crap my whole life. Please bring some spices. And we can go, I can walk down to the store and there's rows and rows of all sorts of tastes and multiple brands and instant microwavable. So, oh, by the way, the microwave is not the same thing as the poop bowl. Don't poop in the microwave. I got confused at first too. Because when you push the button, it does not swipe your poop away if you do it in the microwave. Speaking of which, I'm looking for a extreme maid service to deal with my kitchen right now. Okay, this got silly. But the truth is, we have so much to be grateful for. I'm grateful for my family, specifically. So grateful for my nephews, my sister-in-law, my brother, my parents. Grateful for my ancestors and all that they had to go through to get me to this time in history with so much abundance. Grateful to share this moment with you. Grateful for the food that we will be eating very soon. Now, anybody wants to share something that they're grateful for? Would love to hear it in the comments. Thank you. I love you. Thank you for watching. As you are going into the holiday season, you know what I want for Christmas? A thumbs up and a subscribe. Please, please, Santa, please. I was gonna say I've been good, but pretty good.